Good afternoon. You're listening to Eye on the Valley with your host, Surjeet Atwal, right here on CIVL 101.7 FM, broadcasting to the Fraser Valley, broadcasting from the University of the Fraser Valley's Abbotsford campus on the traditional and unceded territory of the Stolo people. I have a great episode for you today, an interview with MLA Mike DeYoung, MLA for Abbotsford West. We will be talking about high gas prices in the Fraser Valley, doctor shortages in the Fraser Valley, housing prices going high in the Fraser Valley, and other important issues that affect the Fraser Valley. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I got a great privilege and pleasure to be joined by MLA Mike DeYoung. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Surjeet, always great to be on the program.
My very first question is, transportation is a big issue in the Fraser Valley. Could you give our listeners an update about the need of for the highway to be expanded to meet the need of the growing traffic in the Fraser Valley?
Surjeet, I think if you ask people in the central and eastern Fraser Valley, they would identify the problems around Highway 1 as maybe the single biggest issue that people are confronted by in terms of the ability to move around. We tend to think of Highway 1, the freeway, from the perspective of local transportation needs. But we have to remember, this is Canada's national highway. And we are a country that relies on the ability to move people and goods. And the highway simply hasn't kept up with the volume of traffic, not just local traffic, but national traffic. And unfortunately, the present NDP government decided to delay by 3 or 4 years the expansion approvals that the previous government, previous BC Liberal government, had made back in 2016, 2017. So that has put us behind. Now, there is some work taking place. It's unfortunate that it has taken so many years for the government to realize the importance of this project.
Another issue that is faced on by the Fraser Valley public, but not only the Fraser Valley public, but British Columbia in general, is high gas prices are a major concern for consumers. What kind of policies does the government of British Columbia need to introduce to alleviate the concerns of the consumers?
Surjeet, I think the response to these unprecedented high gas prices fall into two categories. First of all, to put this in perspective, British Columbia has the highest gas prices and the highest gas taxes of any jurisdiction in North America. And you will hear some people and some members of the NDP government try to explain that away as a product of the tragic war in Ukraine. But that is a situation that predates the war in Ukraine and has been a feature of the challenge facing vehicle owners and operators for some time. So in the short term, what the government can do is take steps to reduce that tax burden. That's something that falls squarely within the jurisdiction of the British Columbia government. But Mr. Horrigan and the NDP have shown no willingness to provide any kind of meaningful relief on the gas tax side. On a longer term basis, however, we should be looking at facilitating greater refinery capacity in British Columbia. And remember, this present NDP government has done everything within its power to frustrate the construction and prevent the construction of pipeline infrastructure that is essential to moving gasoline and diesel products into British Columbia. So those are longer term solutions to increase our domestic refinery capacity, but I don't see any willing or any intention on the part of the NDP government to move in that direction, and that's unfortunate.
Rising housing prices in the Fraser Valley are making buying a home for families impossible. What does the government of BC need to do to make housing affordable for families in the Fraser Valley?
Surjeet, housing won't be affordable if it's not available. And the big challenge thus far, which I have been saying for years and years and years, is the housing supply. When we build transit infrastructure, it should be tied to the construction by the private sector, by the way, of homes along the transit corridor, and there will be need to be an element of densification. But I'm going to make this statement, and sometimes people get upset, and I'm not sure why when I say this. We live in the second largest country in the world. We have a relatively small population base. We are in a province that is the size of some of the largest countries in Europe. When people say we have a shortage of land, we don't have a shortage of land. We have created restrictions that prevent the construction of housing on the land, but we don't have a shortage of land. So these are all issues on the supply side that we can deal with if there is a political will to do so. But thus far, we simply haven't seen that political will. And the dream of owning a home, a townhome, even a condo, is slipping further and further out of reach of families in BC.
There's another growing problem in British Columbia, and especially in the Fraser Valley. There is a growing doctor shortage in the Fraser Valley. What is your message to people that are having difficulty finding a doctor right here in the Fraser Valley?
I wish I had a more hopeful message, but as we are discovering in our conversations and debates with the government, the premier, and the health minister, to this point, there doesn't seem to be a recognition. The government's ignoring the challenge facing families. And, you know, we hear from Health Minister Dix, oh, there are these urgent care centers and other clinics. But that has turned out to be a very poor substitute for families being connected to a family physician. Now, when we were government, we doubled the number of doctors being trained in British Columbia. We may need to double it again. And yet the government doesn't seem to want to address that issue, and it's getting worse, not better. I wish I had a more hopeful message for families in the short term, but at this point, I think this is one of the major challenges we face as opposition, is to continuously re-emphasize to the government the crisis that exists in our healthcare system.
Do you think it's time for the government of British Columbia to consider opening a medical school in the Fraser Valley? I know they promised one in Surrey, but do you think the Fraser Valley should have one as well in the future?
Well, it's the fastest growing region in British Columbia. And as you look at the population shift, I think ultimately it's a question of when, not if. You know, when my colleagues and I were in government several years ago, we doubled the number of medical school seats in British Columbia and created medical school opportunities in Prince George, in the Okanagan, and on the island. So finding a way to incorporate a similar opportunity into the Fraser Valley, I think makes eminent sense and is something that should certainly be examined.
And as you know, we have a lot of foreign-trained healthcare professionals living amongst us right here in the Fraser Valley. Do you think it's time to allow them to work in the healthcare system? Like Ontario, for an example, has allowed some healthcare professionals from foreign-trained countries because of the pandemic to start working there. Do you think BC needs to follow the same certain kind of model?
Not just BC, Sarjeet, Canada as a whole has simply not responded to the opportunity that exists to deploy foreign-trained medical professionals, doctors, nurses. I'm going to say it bluntly. There is a persistent arrogance that exists within this country. Governments have a role to begin to eliminate that arrogance. You know, we had an example of a young lady right in Abbotsford who had done her nursing degree, was a fully registered nurse, had been trained, fully credentialed out of Brigham Young University in Utah, a world-renowned school. It was taking her more than 2 years to get credentialed at a time when we had a crisis, partly resulting from the COVID pandemic. It wasn't until that young lady, and we brought her situation to the attention of the government, and she went on television, that something was finally done. So whether it's nurses, whether it's doctors, we better come to terms with the fact that there are world-leading schools. There are a lot of British Columbians and Canadians that go abroad to get trained and want to come home to work in the healthcare field. And we make it far too difficult, in some cases, almost impossible for them to do so. And so we never do receive the benefit of their expertise. And that's got to change.
And another issue that the Fraser Valley is dealing with, as you know, is some farmers, because of the Fraser Valley flooding, are still waiting for compensation. What message do you have for those farmers?
Well, first of all, to acknowledge the magnitude of the challenge they face. And yes, circumstances are different depending on whether they're a dairy farm growing berries, a poultry or pork operation. But, you know, let's take the example of the berry farmers. They have some incredibly difficult decisions to make because of the impact of the flooding on their plants. And I am told that in many cases, those blueberry plants have been compromised beyond being able to produce at a rate that makes it efficient to farm, which means they have to be pulled out and replanted. And that's an 8 to 10 year process. So what I want them to know is the message we are trying to carry to the government is the impact of this flooding has not ended when the waters receded. In many cases, the impacts will continue to be felt for upwards of a decade, and the support needs to be there and recognize the length of time it will take some of these agri-food operators, the length of time it'll take them to get back on their feet and return to where they were before the flood. The other thing I want to tell them is we are trying to emphasize to the government at the provincial, federal, and international level the need to address this issue, particularly the Nooksack River, because otherwise the clock is ticking on this happening again.
And as you know, BC is facing another pandemic, literally, the opiate drug crisis. It's getting worse every month. The death toll gets worse every month. What kind of policies can the government of BC, or should the government of BC, introduce to curb the death toll and bring it under control?
Well, you're right about the extent of the pandemic, and clearly what is happening today isn't working. And we clearly have to do more to dissuade people and assist them in extricating themselves from the addiction that they're suffering. I don't want to give up on people. I don't want to just talk about safe supply as if and condemn people to a lifelong dependency on drugs. So those treatments and supports that will help people eliminate their dependency and free themselves from the dependency, I think, are a crucial part of this. I also think we need to be clear and relatively harsh with those who are peddling death. The people that are distributing these tainted drugs are in many cases engaged in murder, because these drugs are killing people. And for all the publicity, for all the awareness that there are still people out there who are engaged in this exercise of selling products that are killing people, I quite frankly think the full force and effect of the criminal law needs to be brought to bear on those people.
What is your final message to our listeners today in the Fraser Valley?
Well, on the positive side, I always say this, we are very fortunate to live where we do. In terms of the beauty of our physical surroundings, the people who are so generous, and proved that during the recent flooding catastrophe. But at the same time, I'm very concerned. Inflation is on the rise. Interest rates are on the rise. Governments certainly here in British Columbia seem unaware of the impact this is having on families in terms of affordability. You know, you go you go to the grocery store, and that basket of groceries that used to cost $100 now costs $200, and coupled with fuel price increases, the range, the cost of living is increasing dramatically and almost exponentially. And the government in British Columbia seems unaware or unwilling to acknowledge that and take steps to address it. So I wish I had a more hopeful short-term message in that respect, but as opposition and as an opposition MLA, we're going to keep plugging away here and try to instill in the NDP government some greater awareness of the impact this is having, the impact of this affordability crisis is having on families right across BC.
Thank you so much for doing this, sir. I know you guys are so busy, but thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule.
Surjeet, always a pleasure to be on the program.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Eye on the Valley right here on CIVL. Join me again next time as I have another great episode for you.